A lot of people think that these hemorrhages are somehow tied into response. Is that your take?
That's my take, too. Anecdotally, I had a patient on the original 4599. She didn't have squamous cell, but she had NOS, not otherwise specified. So this unfortunate woman presented with the central tumor, fairly large, shortness of breath and wheezing. She had metastatic disease. There was adrenal metastasis. In fact, that's how her diagnosis was made. And she elected to go on the study. She was randomized to the bevacizumab arm. There was no sham IV placebo. We knew exactly what people were getting. And 2 weeks into treatment, she developed fever. The initial thought was that she might have neutropenic fever. She was admitted to the hospital. Her counts were fine. She was ultimately diagnosed with bronchitis and given antibiotics, quickly defervesced, and was discharged. And her last words were, "This is the best I have felt in 6 months."
Wow.
She then, while washing up at the sink just before she was due to leave the hospital, she started to cough and she started to spit up blood, and it became basically a deluge of blood. She exsanguinated into the sink and she coated and died within a half hour.
You had a postmortem?
Yes.
Where did it show?
The entire tumor, the primary tumor, which measured 7 to 8 centimeters, was almost completely devitalized. There were very few remnant viable cells in a 2-week period. I kept asking the pathologist, where is the bronchoarterial fistula? There's got to be some sort of connection here. It's a central tumor. They really didn't see it. It was just a sort of total meltdown of the connective tissue matrix that kept this tumor together. And ironically, her adrenal didn't really evidence that much of a response.
But
the primary tumor had shrunk, had sort of disintegrated. And some of the structural integrity of the tumor was so disrupted that the bleeding ensued. And it's ironic. I think a fair number of these hemorrhages are really evidence that the drug is working almost too quickly.
But it's interesting. You're saying you didn't see that in the adrenal. Did she have other areas of metastasis? Wow.
Only areas of involvement were the lung and the adrenal. Now, granted, it's only 2 weeks into treatment. Who knows, over time we might have seen something. So that experience certainly was a showstopper for me. A number of my colleagues were somewhat diffident about putting folks on that trial after hearing that event. But you know what? You go back into the literature predating the targeted therapy era, and you'll find people who have hemorrhaged out. My original study of paclitaxel and carboplatin, first cycle, week 3, I had a very similar patient.
What was the most recent chest x-ray or CAT scan that she'd had? Was it a pre-treatment, or she had one at 2 weeks when
No, she had a chest x-ray, but her baseline pre-treatment scan was a CAT scan.
Because there's been this thought, and I think there were some data at ASCO, you know, about cavitary lesions.
That was the one upshot of the 4599 retrospective analysis. Those who had baseline cavitary lesions seemed to be at higher risk. She did not have a cavitary lesion.
So are they going to allow squamous patients in the adjuvant trial?
Yes, because you those patients will have been resected.
Yeah. And I mean,
so
you would
no,
expect
existing tumor.
So if your theory is right, and other people's theories are right, maybe those patients will do better.
I think so.
Interesting. What about location? This woman had a central tumor. Where are we with that?
Primarily central. If you go back to the original 4599 and also the original randomized phase 2, patients who had more central tumors seemed to be more prone.
I thought that really wasn't coming through.
In 4599, I believe it still was. But again, the numbers are still relatively small. There were well over 800 patients accrued. There were 9 serious hemorrhages.